I'm Kai Wright. Welcome back to Midday on WNYC. So the calendar says that it is spring, and, you know, I'm getting optimistic. It's sort of warm out today, but we, of course, cannot be sure it's not going to snow again. So be it. Either way, it is officially spring, and that means it is time to talk to our gurus of how to. I'm here with Lawrence Ubel, who is, of course, part of the pair Alvin and Lawrence Ubel. Excuse me, and now I'm mispronouncing their names. Part of the pair known as the Accurate Building Inspectors. And they are going to talk to us about the home repair questions you may have, regardless of the strange weather. We're going to have to talk through it. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for letting me be here again.
So, listeners, despite that cumbersome introduction, the important thing is you should call us up and join this conversation right now. 212-433-9692. You can also tweet us using our handle at WNYC Midday, or you can find us on Facebook. We cannot promise that Facebook won't sell your questions to advertisers, but we can promise that we will give you a shot to answer them here.
Yes, we go very low tech. We use pencil and paper.
Pencil and paper will work too. You could come by the station and shout it through the window. Maybe right. We can hear them.
So we're noticing the weather is kind of getting better today.
Yeah.
And then they say by Friday, Saturday, it's supposed to be lovely. And then back in the cold numbers again. So what should you do when the temperature keeps doing this? Call your air conditioning guy.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, have your air conditioning.
Tell me more.
Have your air conditioners maintained now, because if you have a central system or a split system or a mini split, you need to call your guy now to have whatever filters cleaned and changed, because he's probably not crazy busy yet. And if you wait until the weather starts to spike, like when it's 75, 80 degrees every day, he's going to be so busy you're not going to be able to get him.
It's hard to keep up with that, too. I mean, this was actually a question I had for you around my own HVAC. You know, there's not all of us are in the privileged class of forced air, but it is one of the privileges I enjoy in life. And so how often are we supposed to get it serviced?
Well, you should have it looked at least once a year, just to have it just looked over to maintain, like anything else you own.
Yeah.
Even your heating equipment, you should have looked over once a year, make sure that the gas flames are burning properly. I mean, if your gas flame is making any other flame color but blue, it's producing carbon monoxide, and you don't want that to happen. So you want that equipment to be checked on a regular basis. But this is a little bit more important, because if there is a low refrigerant condition, then your use system is going to work way harder than it has to, which working harder means more and higher electric bills.
Yeah.
And so that's why that's important. And it doesn't take very much. Usually a house call is a couple $100 if nothing's wrong. But if something's wrong, you still have to take care of it. You just can't wait. It won't get better. Trust me on that. What?
A couple $100 isn't bad. Yeah. Do they get battered over the course of the winter?
No, it's just that if there is, sometimes there can be undetectable slow leaks in the refrigerant lines.
Got it.
And so if that, it's not enough to be able to trace it out. I mean, sometimes to trace these things out are very difficult, because the pipes are concealed with inside walls. And hopefully there aren't any leaks inside the walls, but if there are, they're hard to find. So it's just better to have it checked. And even if he finds that, if you use a regular person and he knows that he's had that same condition last year and it's again, he might actually recommend that you have a leak test done, which means that they pump some dye through the system, and then it's usually blue, and they look around the pipes and see if blue dye is coming out, and that's how they know.
Right. So the ricocheting weather laid to the side, what are some of the things that are common concerns this time of year? You're saying we should get the HVACs checked. What are some of the things that you often hear from people about this time of year?
As far as all systems or HVAC?
Any systems. What comes up?
Usually it's right now the issue is we've been having the issue with gutters and leaders and leaking because of this crazy situation with nor'easters. And normally this kind of weather, what were we having? Like four heavy weather storms within 4 weeks, which is completely unusual. And so what happens is you end up with a situation where the wind starts blowing and people start getting leaks where they've never had leaks before. And why? Because, you know, most of the waterproofing systems that we have in these buildings, tend to work when the water is falling down. But when the air has an updraft and it's blowing the water up, a lot of times water gets into ventilators, water gets into eaves and soffits and blows into the attic space. And all of a sudden people say, why do I have a leak? And they said, well, under normal conditions, this wouldn't leak. Nothing is waterproof. I'm going to say that right now. Two things I want to say out loud. Nothing is waterproof. Nothing is fireproof. It's water resistant. And it's fire resistant, but everything will get wet and everything will burn. So you need to look at it those ways. So under adverse conditions, you're going to get these kinds of problems.
I feel like water is just the bane of existence.
Yes, and the reason
when it comes to a building,
it's a ridiculous number. It's like 85% of all homeowner claims are water related.
Yes,
because you can see it. The thing is, you could be having an electrical problem and you won't know it until, unfortunately, the house burns down. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately.
So, Alvin, it is a tradition, I understand, for you guys to come with a radio word game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How does it work? What happens to the lucky winner?
So, well, the lucky winner gets a book that I wrote many years ago with George Merlis from Good Morning America. And it's called Save Energy, Save Money. And it does save energy and money for all those who follow what I wrote in that book.
All right. So today's question.
The question is, what is the name given to a nautical contraption that is not a piece of furniture, but its purpose is to assist workers in the cleaning and the fixing of the sides of boats, ships, and buildings? It is also used to rescue survivors. In the water, that is. Mm-hmm. And we're asking for what that contraption is called.
Okay, so
nautical contraption.
Nautical contraption. So listeners, you've got your question. Call us up if you've got an answer. 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can tweet us at WNYC Midday, or you can find us on Facebook, both with your answers to the question and with your questions for our answerers. go ahead.
Let's take some calls. I want to talk to our public.
Well, first I get some host.
He comes here. He can want to get us to fix his.
I get some host privilege here.
It's not an accident that last time we were here, you were here.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Plumbing.
Yes.
I have a plumbing question. Okay, so second floor of my home, everything that involves plumbing seems to just go slow. And there are two drains. There's a sink drain and a bathtub drain. Both of them I have to put Drano in maybe almost monthly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing anything weird with those drains.
It can't be a hair issue.
Yeah.
Well, I have no hair on my head for those who cannot see.
The Drano or any kind of acidity that you put into the drain will eat up any type of protein that is in the drain. That's good too. But when there are solids that get caught in there, like pieces of, like in the kitchen sink, pieces of a bone or maybe a piece of somebody's button off their shirt or something like that get caught in the bottom, that starts to capture other dirt around it. And those things are not biodegradable. So they sit in the trap there and it causes the trap to fill up with some gook and eventually it starts flowing down the drain.
This is a relatively new house and it was, all of this was redeveloped in the last 2 years. You know, again, we are not doing anything crazy. I'm convinced of it. What could possibly be causing
it? Let me ask you one question. When you do use Drano, does it start to work
properly? Yeah.
Okay. So what's happening is that the sink one can be as simple as you have a stopper on your sink?
Yeah.
Okay. The stopper has a rod that sticks out into the drain, and then the stopper that goes up and down hooks onto that. What happens is debris, hair, other things get caught around that plunger part, that rod that sticks in, and all that gook is in there. So what you need to do is actually crawl underneath the sink, and in the back there's a screw-like fitting that you unscrew, and you pull that rod out, and then you pull the stopper up, and you're going to have a wad of disgustingness. And then you clean that all up, and don't put it back down the drain. Right. Throw it in a garbage can, and then rinse that all out, and then put it back together. As far as the tub is concerned, does your tub have a a lever that goes up and down to close the drain, or is it has a turn or
something? It has a lever.
It has a lever.
So, no, I'm sorry. It also has the stopper.
It has a stopper. But well. How do you make the stopper go up and down?
With a lever.
With a lever. That lever probably is held on by two screws. You have to take off those two screws and pull the whole contraption out, and there you're going to have another wad of disgustingness.
This is a lot of wads of disgustingness.
This is a normal part of, let me just say it, home maintenance. And so, if this disgustingness really disgusts you, you might want to wear rubber gloves.
All right, fair enough. All right, so let's go to the public. Michelle in Ossing, New York. Michelle, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Michelle. What's
Hi.
Up?
Yes, hello. I live in a 60-year-old house that has plaster ceilings and plaster walls. And about 2.5 years ago, I had the ceilings repainted. And the paint is peeling off. And I was wondering what kind of prep work should be done before the paint is applied. I was told by a contractor, oh, it's peeling off because the ceilings are old. But surely there must be something that can be done to prepare the ceilings so the paint will adhere?
Okay. When was the last time you painted the ceiling? How long did that paint last for?
Well, in other rooms, they've been on for 30 years and they haven't peeled. I did have a problem at that time with ice jams, but of course that was around the exterior. But the paint is peeling off from central parts of the room where the ice jams could not have had any effect.
Yeah.
And I have a relatively new roof that has about 9 feet of ice shield on it,
mm-hmm.
and there don't appear to be any signs of water coming in, no browning or yellowing. And the plaster looks like it's in very good shape. It's not cracked.
It's just that the paint peels off.
Yes.
Okay. There could be a couple of issues going on here. One is that when you painted it this last time, they didn't really use a quality primer because one of the issues that happened in some of these old, and your building is, how old is it? When was
My
it built?
My house is about 60 years old.
Yeah, which 60 years old would kind of maybe put it in the, 60 years old, would kind of maybe put in the Depression era. And during when people didn't have a lot of money, instead of painting, they sometimes would whitewash with lime. And if you ever had lime on the walls, then the paint that goes on after doesn't stick very well. So my recommendation here is to get a good quality primer like Kills or one of the other good paint manufacturers like Sherman Williams Benjamin Moore. Benjamin Moore, and really do a great a good priming job first, and that should take care of the problem. The problem is you're getting a bad mechanical connection between your paint and your underlayment or your substrate.
Yes. Could you tell if a primer had been put on? Because when the paint peeled off, I could see the plaster wall. It didn't appear that there was another layer of anything of a different shade or different color. It's possible that primer was not used.
You have to know the history of what that building is all about. And the thing is that if it's a kitchen area, sometimes you don't even know that there is a grease on the walls from the cooking that goes on over a period of time. And that grease cannot hold on to any kind of paint. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes a good mechanic or painter will wash the walls before he even applies the primer.
But
that's a good job.
But the question you're asking is, how do you know if a primer has been put on?
Yes.
Is that's a hard one to ascertain without analysis of the paint. But I'm saying at this point, you probably need to do a good quality primer first and then put on your color after.
And also, would a light sanding help that area?
Yes, and also washing before you do anything. Wash it first, then you can do some sanding, then vacuum it, vacuum all the dust off of it from the sanding, and then start your painting process. Okay?
Right. Okay, well, I thank you very much.
I hope that helps, Michelle. I'm speaking with Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, our gurus of how-to. And we are talking about taking your calls about home repairs. When we get back, we'll hear some of your answers to the word game quiz. This is Midday on WNYC. We'll be right back after a break. This is Midday on WNYC, and I am back with Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, our gurus of how to. Let's get some of your answers in to the radio word game. We've got a few people who think they've got it right, so let's see if, in fact, they do. Let's start with Penny in Princeton, New Jersey.
Hi, Penny. What do you think it is?
Hi. I think it's a sling, S-L-I-N-G.
That is close, but no, we're looking for the nautical name. So thanks, but keep listening.
Keep listening. Well, let's give another try here. Bill in Jamaica, Queens. Bill.
Bill.
Bill, are you there?
Oh.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
I'm live?
You're
yes.
live.
I'm just a total guess. Life preserver?
No. But that was a total guess, and the fact that you listen makes you just a cut above.
All right. All right, well, let's get back to this. Let's get some more advice in here first.
Okay.
Okay, so Marie in New Jersey. Marie, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. I have oak hardwood floors, and I had a flood in mid-January.
Sorry.
There was about an inch and a half of water in two rooms for about 90 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I'm presently waiting for a contractor to come to remove and replace. But meantime, in the last 10 days, by the way, the floors were cupped in certain areas. But in the last 10 days, the cupping has gone down.
Yes.
Should I continue to have the floors replaced, leave it as is?
It depends upon how severe.
Now, let me ask you, I need to ask a couple questions first.
All right.
Got to get some background here. What's underneath this floor?
What is beneath the floor? A subfloor with the installer put some paper on top of the subfloor.
And below that? Is there a room below this room? Or are you on the ground level?
I live in a second floor condo, so there was a neighbor downstairs.
Could be concrete.
Okay. No, she's on the second floor,
It depends on how many story building this is.
How many story building?
Two story building.
Yeah.
It's probably
a wood frame building.
All right.
That is a call you would have to, that would have to be an aesthetic call, because it's never going to lay down perfectly. You could get it to look perfect by having it sanded down, and you can get it to probably, but you'll never get it to lay down. And my other concern is that it will continue to dry out over the next year. So if you sand it down at this point, you may end up with bulging from when it really shrinks all the way.
That's true.
Yeah. So
also you'll probably get some black streaks.
One second.
Wait. Hold on, Alvin. You go first.
Yeah, you also will get some black streaks, because you have to understand that the wood itself is a nutrient in which a fungal will grow that was caused by the water and the flood together. So you'll have black streaks, and you'll have
If it's an oak floor, when oak gets wet, it turns black. And so you may end up with some people like that look, but you may not. It also is a financial decision. If the insurance
it's covered by insurance.
I would replace it.
Yes.
I would replace it. Yeah. And also, we don't know if the underlayment, the paper, the is also water saturated, and that may be growing some mold between the layers. It's a good idea just to go down to the underlayment, clean that all up, and then put down a new wood floor.
Brand new.
That's great. Thank you. That's what I needed to hear.
Thanks,
so
Marie.
Much.
And I want to say a couple of things, that if people want to write us, they can email either me, and I'm changing the email address, so the other one is larry@ubell.com, Larry, L-A-R-R-Y, at U-B-E-L-L.com. That if you don't want to talk to me, you could talk to him at alvin@ubell.com. Don't just send them all to me. I'm working too hard. He's like semi-retired. He could talk to you for hours. And always include your telephone number, because sometimes we'll call you, because it's sometimes easier just to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I call sometimes quite late at night.
No, not after 9.
I call sometimes after 9.
We will have to talk about that.
They will sort this out and create a policy for you. Let's bang through some more of these answers to the word game. Joe in Freehold, New Jersey. You're welcome to WNYC, Joe.
Hi, I'll take my answer off the air. But
you are really a midday caller. Go on.
What do you got? What's the answer?
And I would have told the woman that called about the floors the same thing. Replace it all.
Yeah.
However, I believe it's a boatswain's ladder.
No, not really.
No, almost, but okay.
You don't get the gold ring.
And you can't take this answer off the air, because if you win, we have to talk to you.
But he did not win.
Okay.
Okay, what about Johnny in Chatham, New Jersey?
Johnny,
you think you've got an answer?
Hello. Am I on?
You're on the air, Johnny. What's your guess?
I changed my answer in the meanwhile. I offered one to your screener, but now I'm changing it to gangplank.
No.
That's how you get on the boat or off the boat. It's not it's not the thing we're looking for.
I know. And many people during the 1800s got off the boat that way, but they weren't at a dock.
Okay, remind us of the question.
Okay, I'll read it this time. What is the name given to the nautical contraption that is not a piece of furniture, but its purpose is to assess workers in cleaning and fixing the sides of the boat, ship, and building? Sometimes they use this to rescue people from, like, burning buildings or...
When it's a flood.
Or a flood, yeah.
Okay, one more shot. Carol, in am I pronouncing this right? Eastmoreiches, New York.
Eastmoreiches.
Yes,
close enough. I can't do names. I can't do places. What's your guess, Carol?
A breeches boy.
A breeches boy? No, but no. That's a great name. I don't even know what that is. But thank you.
Okay. Well, we're not getting there. All right. This we're going to give it one more shot. This has got to be it. Okay. Lou in Stony Point, New York.
Lou. Hi, Lou.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. It's a bosun's chair.
And let me ask you, why did you know that?
I'm a roofing contractor, and sometimes use that to work on a steeple.
Yep.
You're a ringer, is what you're saying.
No, it's, everyone. You know, there are a lot of people who work in industries who work with equipment. They don't even know what they're called or why they're called it.
Yes.
So I'm going, this guy's cool.
Okay.
Anyway, why don't you hang on and you'll give a screener your name and address, and we'll send you a copy of Save Energy, Save Money by Al Ubell and George Merlis. Okay?
Good job, Lou.
And good luck.
Okay, back to questions. Kathy in Queens, welcome to WNYC.
Hi.
What do you've got going on, Kathy?
What's up, Kathy?
What can they help you with?
Well, I live in a kind of polluted neighborhood. There's a lot of construction. There's railroad yards. And I'm always concerned about putting my air conditioner back in the window.
Mm-hmm.
What would be, like, prudent to do every year? Or I did get it professionally cleaned once, but didn't look like they really did a good job.
Well, I just want to say that any of the dirt that's on the outside of the air conditioner is not going to really impact you on the inside, because especially if you keep there's usually a switch on it that says open and close, and if you keep it on the closed, you don't get any outside air, so you're not sucking in the air from outside.
Huh.
And the cleaning of the outside is just basically to keep the coils clean and just to have better air circulation through the condenser. The condenser is the coils, which can cools off the refrigerant and allows the refrigerant to condense back into a liquid. It's the inside that really you got to keep tip-top, by changing the filter and just not making sure that water is sitting there and molding and turning all kind of gooky stuff on the inside. That's really where your level of concern is. And the other thing is that if it isn't a window, just remember that when the window is not all the way closed, you're going to have air recirculating up between the two sashes, so you have to stick some kind of baffle in there or insulation or some material to stop the air from moving.
Yeah, you can also use some, like, duct tape or something like
duct
that.
Duct tape. You know what I like better these days? It may not look as good, but I really like it. Instead of duct tape, I like using this foil tape, this peel-and-stick foil tape. It works really good, and it sticks well, and it has more... structure to it, so you can put layers on top of one another, and it kind of stays stiff.
Huh? And you get it anywhere? Any hardware store?
Well, Home Depot. Yeah. I don't mean to plug, but that's where I go because I can get to Home Depot, buy what I want, and get home in less than 12 minutes. Yeah. So I know where it is. Right there, third aisle on the second shelf.
Does that help, Kathy?
Well, just one follow-up.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't be concerned about getting the condenser, like, super vacuumed or the coils super vacuumed.
Not the outside ones. The inside ones you want to, you can vacuum those with your home vacuum cleaner. Just don't damage the coils.
The only thing is that
and the fins.
If you are cleaning air conditioning, you have to, if it's plugged in and you see the plug, unplug it and clean it while it's unplugged.
Indeed.
Do not operate or clean any kind of electrical equipment that has energy into potentially energy into it.
And I want to give a tip to everybody who puts in it window units or takes them out.
Yeah.
The cord, before you lift it up off the ground and put it in, tie the cord around something in the room, whether it's your own leg or whether it's a chair or a desk or something. Because if you drop that thing, you don't want it falling out the building and crushing someone below. And it's very important to have those brackets on the outside. That's a city code. You got to do it. Make sure it happens. But when you're putting it in, tie that electrical cord to something in the room.
All of us in the city are familiar with the terror of trying to put one of those things in or out. What, do you have to clean it throughout the season?
Just once
in the beginning?
Just once. I mean, the filter on the inside, you need to clean throughout the season. Yeah. And that, it also depends on how many animals you have, how hairy you are. Yeah. I mean, most of what's in that filter is us. Okay?
Dust
is dead skin, dead hair. I always use this as an example. In my house upstairs, I have two rooms on the same system. My daughter's room, she doesn't live home anymore, and we run the same system. The filter's clean, never has to be changed. My room, on the other hand, we don't want to talk about.
But if you have a central air conditioning units, those can be hosed down with a regular garden hose.
On the outside. You're talking about the compressor condenser.
Yeah, the pressure condenser can be cleaned and everything else, because they do accumulate leaves, and also the snow is on top of it. There's a lot of dirt.
And we'll talk more about that when we get to the fall.
Indeed.
Let's just get through the summer.
All right.
So thank you, Kathy.
Quick question, and if you can't answer it, that's okay.
Yeah.
I had a recent renovation. I replaced my stove. It's now electric. It was a pilot light. Every time I turn on the oven, the glass door accumulates water. And I'm wondering, it faces the shower. I mean, it shares a wall with my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Is this dangerous?
It's not dangerous, but it's a curious problem. And I would actually call up the appliance manufacturer or service person to find out why that happens, because I don't know where that moisture should be coming from. If you said it was a gas unit, I would expect that, because gas does produce water. When we burn fossil fuel, 75% of what's burned turns into water. I mean, 75% of what comes out of the combustion is water. That's why we see water dripping out of tailpipes. Right. So that's important. But an electric unit, you shouldn't have moisture. So I would definitely call a service person to have that checked out.
Yeah, that's
for sure.
That's coming from somewhere where we don't know.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be producing that.
It could be condensation from something.
Actually, that's one of the problems with people who buy ovens, that electric ovens are very good because they have even distribution of heat. They're bad if you like to bake bread, because it really dries out the oven, and you need, and baking bread, you need high levels of moisture.
So I don't know that we have time to squeeze in another call, but I have a question.
Yeah.
So roofing.
Yeah.
I have just gotten my roof repaired over the fall.
Right.
It was nominally repaired when I bought it a year before that. How often you got to do this? You know, I'm thinking with the, you know, water is on its way.
I hate to say this, if it ain't broke.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If you don't see a leak.
Did you see any leaks?
We had a leak, and that's
and
why I did it.
And then
I fixed
it. Fixed.
So wait till the next one.
Leave it alone. I've seen roofs that looked horrible, didn't leak. I've seen roofs that are brand new, leak. So why a roof leaks or doesn't leak may have nothing to do with the age of the material. And roofs do not tend to leak in the middle of the roof. They tend to leak at the flashing points, whether it's a vent stack, a chimney, a kick-out flag wall. Something like that.
But is there anything I should be doing to prevent the leak? Is there anything, should I be watching out for anything?
Is it a flat roof or is it a pitch
roof? It's a flat roof.
You might want to apply every few years an application of reflective coating.
Silver asphalt paint.
Fibrated or not fibrated, doesn't matter.
Fibrated is a little bit stronger.
But longevity
is better.
Yeah, it's a pain, but you should do it.
Fibrated.
Well, fibrated means it has fiberglass in it.
Got it.
Okay.
And so then we're in our last minute here.
Yeah.
It's it's spring, summer's coming. We're gonna check our HVACs. We're gonna make sure that wind isn't blowing up. What's the thing we have to do in this last minute?
Well, in this last minute, make sure your gutters and leaders are clean, because we've had a lot of debris flying around from all these storms.
Yes.
Clean out the gutters and leaders, the roof drains. I've seen a lot of ponding and that sort of thing. And also, people, don't forget photoelectric smoke detectors. That's what you want to have in your house, and you want them in every bedroom.
I've been speaking with Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, our gurus of how to. Thanks so much for joining me.
And the next time we'll hear, we'll show all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, money.
And do it safely.
And do it safely.